Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I challenge you sometime during this next week to get online and Google the phrase, money is life, looking for images. You will find thousands of slides reflecting people's philosophy about life and money. Some are good. Many are very, very bad. Let me give you an example of a bad one. This one from Irish author Oscar Wilde. He said, "When I was young, I thought that money was the most important thing in life. Now that I am old, I know that it is." It's not strange that people should think this is so. Fact is, from an earthly point of view, money is power. It buys things. It buys friends. It buys comforts and earthly securities. We tend to feel safer when we have money in our pockets than when we don't. I mean, let's be honest. We like having money better than not having money. But today the Lord puts before us an urgent plea that sets us back on our heels and makes us ask the question, am I going the wrong direction when we chase after money? He urges us all, take hold of the life that is truly life. Let me show you a distinction in words that the inspired apostle uses to make it clearer. The New Testament Greek language has two different words for life. One is the word bios. That word usually is talking about the mechanics of life or of staying alive. Getting out of bed in the morning is bios. Eating breakfast is bios. Going to work and making a living is bios. Spending money at the store is bios. Having a heartbeat is bios. It's staying alive. But when Jesus said, take hold of the life that is truly life, he wasn't using the word bios. He was using the word zoe. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he wasn't using the word bios. He was using the word zoe. Zoe is the essence of being alive in rich measure, like being alive deep down inside, being alive to God in your inmost being. It's the word Jesus used when he said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. It's the word he used when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal zoe. It's the word he used when he warned against greed and said, life, zoe, does not consist in the abundance of possessions. God definitely wants you to be rich. But to him, being rich has nothing to do with having money. It's the richness of life with him, the richness of zoe. And for that reason, we have to talk today about the dangers of falling in love with a cheap imitation of life. Take hold of the life that is truly life is our theme for today, not by getting rich, but by being rich his way. So yes, today we are addressing the issue of money. Not a strange thing for the Bible. Well over 2,000 verses in the Bible talk about money, and 4 out of 10 of Jesus' parables deal with the issue. Why do you think this is such a big deal to God in his holy word? Well, maybe it's because money easily becomes his biggest competitor in our hearts. St. Paul saw that happening in his day too. Worse yet, he saw that some people actually thought that they could make good money through being religious. Paul spoke about some false teachers and said, people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. How many people to this day aren't willing to give their life savings to some TV preacher they hardly know, but he seems like such a godly, sincere man. Yes, people's hearts can easily be abused and manipulated. And false teachers know this. They learn to talk the religious talk. They learn to charm the naive. They learn to take advantage of those with soft consciences and open ears. They are an insult to Jesus Christ. But God's children have come to see that falling in love with money and money-making schemes is a dead end. That's not where we find real life. Let's take a look at some of his pithy observations. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Not godliness with lots of money, not godliness with a comfortable lifestyle included, but godliness with contentment, a sense of being satisfied with our station in life, with our income, and with the things and the people He has put around us. That, He says, is great gain. When are you truly ahead in life, except when you are happy with where God has put you? With this income, with this house, with this car, with this family. Can you be content with where you are right now? He goes on, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Almost straight out of the mouth of Job, it sounds, who said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. How much should we get attached to things we can't take with us? We hear stories of people that ask to be buried in their favorite sports car. Do you think they're actually driving that sports car into glory? Or is it just rusting away to nothing in the ground? We can't take anything with us. Nothing. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that, he says. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us today our daily bread. That is, everything we need for our bodily welfare. Food, clothing, shelter. He gives us far more. Transportation, safety, pleasures of all kinds. But how much do we really need to be happy and content? He goes on. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. There's a real danger if greed takes hold of our life and we're not content with the things God gives us. He calls it a trap, leading to ruin and destruction. And then he says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Money is not the root of all evil, but falling in love with money as your God absolutely is. It can drive a wedge between you and the true God, causing you to bring spiritual death and much pain into your life. We pastors are given the privilege of teaching and preaching to inmates at the Ozaukee County Jail in Port Washington. Do you want to take a guess as to why these men and women were caught selling drugs or were involved in other illegal business? You got it. Satan had convinced them that they'd be happy if they got rich quick. They were caught. And now they cry, separated from their spouses and children, often for many years. They pierced themselves with many griefs. God was right. It's not that God doesn't want you to have any money, or that it's a sin to gather wealth in honest ways. The problem is when you begin to confuse being rich with having money. Having money doesn't make you rich. Having Jesus does. In our Sunday morning Bible study, we are currently studying 2 Corinthians, where the Lord reminds us of this precious truth. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Jesus had everything, power, prestige, honor, glory forever with His Father and the Holy Spirit in the mansions of heaven. Yet for your sake, He gave it all up, becoming truly human, as we confess, in order to become the lowliest of the lowly, the sacrifice for a planet full of rebellious sinners. But by doing that, He gave you the greatest of riches, absolutely without cost, as a gift of His grace, forgiveness for all your guilt. The status of being a child of our heavenly King, a future where death is forever defeated, and you reign on high with the angels. You, friend, have become rich freely by faith in Him. You have the life that is truly life. Now that changes us, and it changes the way we look at earthly wealth. Take a peek at what St. Paul says to those who have been blessed more than others with such earthly riches. He said, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. First, be careful what you are putting your trust in. On our coins is the phrase, "In God we trust." As believing Christians, we can truly say amen to that. Not money, but the Lord our God is the one we trust for help in time of need. It's interesting to hear Paul remind us that God allows us to enjoy the things he gives, the vacations, the high standard of living, the nice home. We don't have to feel ashamed that he is blessing us in many ways. At the same time, however, let's not forget the adage, "To whom much has been given, much shall be required." He said, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." God calls us, who have been given so much, the obligation to be doers of good, to find our wealth in doing good deeds of kindness to others, to be committed to sharing his earthly wealth with others. He says that kind of focus lays up a different kind of reward, a firm foundation, not of earthly stockpiles of wealth, but of heavenly treasure that puts Jesus and his mission first above all things. That's nothing less than saving faith in Christ, isn't it? It's faith in action. It's real Zoe. One of the best pictures of this is the parable Jesus told today about the business manager who was being accused by his master of being unfaithful. Now he's about to lose his job, and he realizes that money is just a tool to win friends, which were far more important to him now than just having a pocketful of cash. And so he cuts his personal profits to make friends with money. Jesus' commentary about this cagey man is precious. He said, "Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Will you use your earthly wealth to gain eternal friends? Will you use it to bless the poor, to support worthy charities, to think about those less fortunate than you? Yes, even to give a generous tip to that single mom who is waiting your table at the restaurant. Even more, will you use his wealth to win the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ? There is only one organism on earth that cares to give away heaven as a free gift, and you are part of it. Make friends for eternity as you support the ministry of Jesus' church. My dear friends, today is the day. Take hold of the life that is truly life. It is yours. Amen.